If you have your Bibles with you, I'm going to ask that you open the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John in chapter number 3. Familiar portion of Scripture as we're looking. And I tell you what, you know, if you took the entire Bible and condensed it down into one chapter, John 3 would be it. If you took the entire gospel message and put it down into one verse, John 3:16 would be it. Amen? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Oh, we're going to be in John chapter 3 this morning. I'm actually going to start reading a little bit back before that one, starting in verse number 3. John 3, beginning in verse number 3, if you have your place, if you'd stand for the reading of God's Word. The Bible says this, and Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Mothers, aren't you glad that doesn't happen? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Wonderful place to start this year, this first Sunday morning of 2021. Many of you might notice here behind me, we have a new banner for the year. A new thought, a new focus of an old theme. This is a motto that's been part of this church for longer than I've been here. I believe probably most of its 20, almost 21 years as a church. It does make a difference what you believe. It is an old thing. And sometimes I'm reminded of like Jeremiah 6, verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Sometimes we need to be reminded of the old paths. What do we believe and why? I know in our Sunday school hour, we've started looking into that, and we'll be spending the next probably 19, 20 weeks looking at that. And looking and searching and saying, wow, well, you know, boy, there's just so much I could preach on. Where do I start? And what God laid on my heart late was get back to the basics. Get back to the basics of our belief. What is belief? It is more than just simply acknowledging. Belief is basing our actions on what we know to be true. So Lord, as we take a look at what we believe, help us to say, well, yeah, I know that's there, but help us to actually apply it. And we're going to start by looking at some basics this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. Father, this morning, Father, our Sunday school lesson, the song service, Father, those that are able to be here in person, Father, those that are watching online. And Father, I just ask that you have your way in this service. Father, your will in this service. Father, hide this speaker behind the old rugged cross. Father, that lives may be changed. Father, not my words, but yours. Your word is truth. Father, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Amen. Amen. How good to have you with us today. Amen. If we think about our Christian faith, if we think about what we believe, well, we start with our Christian life. We start with the beginning of our Christian life. Where does our Christian life begin? It begins with a new birth. By the way, you cannot be a Christian without a new birth. That makes sense? Well, Brother Scott, I was born in the church nursery. Grew up in the church. I'm raised in a Christian nation. I think you might want to check the headlines on that one. That doesn't make you a Christian. You cannot be a Christian without a new birth. This is what Jesus is talking to Nicodemus about here in John chapter 3. He was a teacher of Israel, understood the things of the Bible, understood the teachings of the Old Testament. He was a Pharisee, but yet He was missing something. Had the religion, but was missing the relationship. You see, being born again is not turning over a new leaf. I could have a little fun and say, Adam and Eve, try that one. Oh, my wife laughing at that, and she caught it. Weren't they sowing fig leaves and trying to turn over a... That's not the new birth. The new birth is not trying to improve our character. Well, you know, if I can just be a better person. I know this time of year, New Year's, we like resolutions, don't we? Oh, look at all the things I'm going to do this year to be a better person. By the way, pray for me. I was talking with my wife last night and we made a New Year's resolution. Brotherhood of the Big Bailey Baptist, I'd like to get rid of some of this. We'll see how it works. See if I can be a better person. That's not the new life. Well, maybe if I just change some of my old habits. If I get rid of some things in my life and get there by good works. That's not a new birth. That might have some benefits to you. But it's not the new birth. Well, what if we just reform that old nature? That old sinful nature we've been born with, and through willpower, see if I can get that old nature to conform to what I want it to do and with good intentions. And it still won't bring a new birth. Jesus said here in verse number 3 that you must be born again. That word born, most of us know what it is to be born. Amen? I know Rusty's looking at me like, born? I was hatched. To bring forth. Okay? To be born. To be born again, what Jesus is talking, the Greek word here is to be born from above. To be born new. You see, we must be born from above to be born again. That's what he's talking about here. He said there in verse number 6, he said that which is flesh is flesh. Or that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That's our earthly nature. That's our physical birth. And the best thing that this physical birth can do is to produce a physical nature. My righteousness is as filthy rags. That's the best I can do. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. It can't be anything else. That which is born of spirit, that second birth, that birth from above, is spiritual. And that's what we all need. That's that new beginning that is the basis of our foundation, the basis of our belief. And it's something that we can't do ourselves. We can't do it by being a good person. We can't do it by good works. We can't do it. Well, you know, preacher, I've read my Bible through. Okay. Has it changed your life? Well, no, but I read it. Well, preacher, I've attended church since I was little. Has it affected your life? Has it brought about a relationship with the Savior? Or does it only bring the ritual of the church? If you're missing the relationship, you're missing that spiritual second birth. It's about a relationship with a loving Father. And that's what we're looking for. That's what we're needing. And many of us we try to get to do it on our own. And we'll say, yeah, I know that Jesus died on the cross for me. And I know He paid that price. So now I've got to go do things. Trying to keep the law that we couldn't keep before we got saved. How did that work for you, by the way? Anybody try to keep the law before you got saved? Thou shalt not. Whoops, I did it again. If we couldn't do it before we got saved, what makes you think we can do it after we got saved? What makes you think that after we've accepted Christ as Savior, now we have a list of do's and don'ts, and I've got to follow this now to keep my salvation? To stay saved? Newsflash. If you couldn't do anything to get saved, what makes you think you can do anything to keep it? It has to be by Him. It has to be that free gift. We are saved by grace through faith, Ephesians 2 talks about. Not of works, not of our efforts. It is a gift of God. He's the one that saves us. He's the one that brings about that new life, that brings about that change in us. He's done it. I like some of these folks that say, well, now that you've gotten saved, now by the work of a man, we need to prove you got saved. The evidence of salvation. You know what the evidence of salvation is? A changed life. But I'll get to that in a minute. I'm getting ahead of myself. We can't do it through our strengths. Titus chapter 3, starting in verse 5, says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy. He saved us by the washing of regeneration. That's a new nature that's been created. And the renewing, that's rebuilding. But the Holy Ghost, He's the one that's made the change in me. Amen? Amen. He's the one that's done it. Verse 6 says, but which He shed for us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The new birth is not by how good I do it. It's not trusting in what I can do, but trusting in what He has done. Galatians 2:21 talks about the fact that I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. If I could do anything to stay saved or get saved, then Jesus wouldn't have had to go to the cross. He wasted His time if I could do it any other way. So what happens when we accept Him as Savior? What happens when that new birth takes place, when we stop trusting in ourselves and in our strength, and we start trusting in the Savior for eternal life, what happens? There's a new heart that takes place. There's a change in our heart. And I know there's folks that I've talked with that say, oh, you know, it's not scriptural to ask Jesus into your heart. Yeah, I'm not talking about this thing in here that goes pump, 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 pump. That's not what I'm talking about. The heart is the seat of the emotion. It's who I am. You ever hear the phrase, put your heart into it? Put all you've got into it? It is trusting Christ with all I have, with every fiber of my being. And that's that new heart. Ezekiel 36:26 says, a new heart also will I give you. A new spirit will I put in within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. And I will give you a heart of flesh. It is God that does the giving, not man that does the earning. Amen? Amen. So the basis, if I take a look at it, it's important what you, it does make a difference what you believe. The very first thing that comes to my mind is salvation. It's not by works. It's not by church membership. It's not by baptism. It's not by anything I can do. But it is trusting in Him. Whew, amen. And when I trust in Him, there's a change that takes place. Turn with me, if you would, over to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. In verse number 17, and you say, well, how do you know if you've been saved? How do you know if you've actually trusted Him as Savior? You know, I heard a preacher preach one time, and my buddy kind of nudged me, and he grabbed one hand, and the guy on the other side of me grabbed the other hand. They dragged me down the aisle. The preacher said a few words and moved his hand, and okay, saved. But nothing's changed. I'm still doing everything I used to do and still go the places I used to go. And But you know, that missionary comes knocking on my door, I can say, well, yeah, I got saved. I went to a church and they prayed for me. And matter of fact, they even put me in the baptistry. How do you know you got saved? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Becoming new is dependent on being in Christ. Okay, what does it mean to be in Christ? Let me give you an example. Anybody here have a car out in the parking lot? A couple of folks? A little creative driving this morning on the side street? Hey, man. Hey, I know we started singing that song, Jesus Take the Wheel. You can sit in here all day long and hear somebody talk about how good your car might be. And you can believe that that car will take you home or to the restaurant or to wherever it is that you have plans to go after church. Yep, I know that car will take me there. But that doesn't do you any good until you do what? Get in the car. You can stand outside the car and swear up and down, and I believe and I believe and I believe, and it won't do anything till you get in it. I can sit here and I can look at the Word of God and I can say, yep, I believe that Jesus will take me to heaven. I believe that Jesus will take me to heaven. And until I put my trust in Him to do it, it doesn't serve anything. I can believe all I want. The devils believe and tremble, James 2:17. I need to put my trust in Him. This is what we believe. This is that belief, but it's more than just belief. It's not just simply acknowledging. It is trusting and surrendering ourselves to Him. Lord, I know that I cannot, even at my best, earn even the smallest piece of your mercy, of your grace. I can't do it. And I'm a preacher. Lord, the only way that this is going to work is if I'm trusting in You for it. Because there's something new that's taken place. It's a new way of thinking. But it's not just for salvation, it's that day to day. Because those old things, that old sin nature has passed away. Amen? Amen! Uh-oh. Wait a minute, I can have a little fun here. See, that old nature's gone. That sin nature is no longer there. See, now I'm in sinless perfection. No, we still wrestle, don't we? But now there's a difference in that battle. You see, there's something new in that battle. Because I've been declared righteous and justified by Him. And I am no longer subject to that sin. That sin no longer has dominion over me. I am dead to that old nature. Illustration, if we were doing a funeral, I know most of us have been to at least one funeral. I know I've done several of them here. But if right up here, if there was a casket here, and somebody laying in that casket and it's just the shell, we know that they're already in eternity. But if a guy was laid here in this casket, in this shell, and a pretty girl came walking by, would he be affected? No. Why? Because he's dead to the temptation. But we still struggle with that temptation, don't we? Part of that is because we forget that we've been made a new creature. We now have greater in us than he that's in the world. We now have greater in us than what that temptation that's dealing with us. Those old things, those old desires, our old want-tos have passed away. They've been changed. They are become new. They've been transformed. Amen? Amen. I think of it like a butterfly. Let's go back up. Let's look at the caterpillar. Inchworm. Caterpillar crawling around in the dirt. So were most of us, crawling around in the dirt. But something happened to that caterpillar. There was a transformation that took place in that caterpillar. I've looked at a caterpillar. I've studied caterpillars. I've never seen a caterpillar with wings. I've never seen it. Don't know where the legs come from. Don't know where the wings come from. I've never seen a caterpillar fly on its own. I can throw a caterpillar and make it fly. But I've never seen it being a good caterpillar ever being able to fly. Until a transformation takes place from the inside. And that caterpillar is then reborn in a butterfly. A butterfly that is carried about by the wind and directed by the wind, a wind that you cannot see, but you see the effects of. Oh, what a beautiful picture of the transformation that happens in our life when we trust Christ, when we place ourselves in Christ, trusting Him fully for not just our salvation, our eternal security, but our day-to-day, and that old caterpillar crawling around in the dirt then becomes transformed with the strength of the wings of eagles. I think of that passage in Isaiah. Transformed from the inside, changed from the inside. There's a newness in our life, and now we're carried about by the wind. Not the wind of doctrine over in James. There's a problem there. But in the passage we started with in John, if I were to drop down to verse number 8, Jesus telling us that the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but thou canst tell whether it cometh and whether it goeth, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. You know, you may not be able to see the Holy Spirit in my life, but you can see the evidence of the Holy Spirit in my life. Amen? Thank God. Amen. I look in the mirror and he ain't got to my outside yet. Amen. No comment. All right. But there has been a change. And I can look back over where I was back in the 70s. Because I got saved in 1980. I can look back at my teenage years and just go, why would God want to do anything with me? What was it that I did that made myself even remotely worthy of His grace? But He saw something in me. And I heard that still small voice, that stirring of the Holy Spirit, that there was something missing in my life. And in June of 1980, on the side of Interstate 40 outside of Silsaw, Oklahoma, I knelt down and trusted Christ and put my faith in my Savior. And He has changed my life. He's changed my want-tos. He's changed my desires. The old me has passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Amen. It does make a difference what you believe. Have you seen a change in your life? Have you seen a change in maybe the way we think or the places we go or the things that we say or some of the old struggles that we had? Well, Brother Scott, I'm still struggling some of those. Does it bother you? It doesn't bother you that you still struggle in some of those? Uh-oh. I don't know. When I put my foot in it, nothing seems to go right until I get on my face before God and say, God, I've messed it up again. Because why? Because there's now something working in me that says that, that was wrong. There's been a change that's happened in my life. If there's been no change in your life, maybe you're missing that new birth. Maybe you're trusting in something other than Christ. Have you placed your faith in Christ? Have you trusted Him? Is He changing? Are we growing to be more like Him? I think of over in Romans chapter 8, it talks about predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. Not predestination, Calvinist, but predestined to be conformed to His image. There was something that God saw in me that He is changing in me to make me more like Him every day. Amen? Amen. And I know my wife can verify this. There's still a ways to go, isn't it? Amen. 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 But oh, He's making progress. And I'm looking forward to the day when I'll be able to be out of this world and be in His presence and no longer have to deal with some of the things that come at me in this. You see, because that new birth and that new life brings about hope. Isn't that something that was missing in many people in 2020? Think about this. How many folks throughout this last year heard the reports on the news or heard the reports this way or that way and oh no, it's, you know, I know Chicken Little, the sky is falling, but we've fallen into hopelessness and despair and it's just terrible. We can't do this, we can't do this, but as long as they don't know I'm doing this. How many churches closed? How many, and not just the buildings that have closed, because I know a lot have gone to online, but how many have stopped attending in church? How many have turned away from a source of hope to dwell in a life of hopelessness? You see, because when we've placed our trust in Him, there's that change that takes place. And not only do I see Him working in my life, I now see a new destination. Amen? There's now a hope in my life. Take your Bibles. I'm going to ask you to turn with me over to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter number 3. 1 Peter chapter number 3. 1 Peter chapter number 3 and verse number 15 says, "But sanctify the Lord in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." That fear isn't talking about being afraid. It's talking about reverent. That meekness is not weakness, but it's humility. It's understanding that it's not from my strength, it's His strength. But it says in there to be ready to give a reason for the hope that is in you. Do you have hope? Okay, I think of like Romans 12:12 talks about rejoicing in hope. Amen? Boy, we need to let the church know that, amen? Looks a lot like Eeyore's gone to church. There needs to be some rejoicing in hope. What is hope? I know that was a comedian back in like, what, the World War II era, Bob Hope doing around and... No? Well, he did give hope. Hope. Webster defines hope this way. It says, an expectation of something good and obtainable. Confidence in a future event. Whew. A belief grounded on substantial evidence. If I take that definition, hope is the glorious expectation that something wonderful is going to happen. Amen? I can look at the world that's going on around me. I can find in Scripture where the Bible tells us that these events will take place. And it needs to stir my heart because what God said it would come to pass is coming to pass. But you know, I've read the end of the book. I know that when these things start to happen, behold, it is near and even at the door. There's a hope in my life that maybe with what's going on in the craziness of this world, that trumpet will sound today. and I'm out of here. There's a hope in my life. That means I don't have to get buried under the mully grubs of the media. But I can stand in the hope of what my Savior said would happen is happening. And that I can trust in Him because of my belief, my trust in Him. And trusting in His finished work, not my good works. And it is that hope that removes doubt. It is that hope that anchors my soul. Hebrews 6, starting in verse 18, says, by two immutable or unchangeable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation or comfort who have fled for refuge to lay a hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil. My hope is on the one that's opened the veil. When Jesus died on that old rugged cross, when he hollered out, it is finished, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom, the way opened into the presence of God. The one that opened a way for me to get through the veil. What was that song we were singing? We started off today singing Solid Rock, page number 71. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. When darkness seems to hide His face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy veil, my anchor holds within the veil. It is that new birth. It is that new life that is within me from trusting in Christ that brings the hope that allows me to stay firmly anchored in my Savior regardless of the storms that we're facing. Because of my anchor in Him. It is also our hope of His return. As I can stay firmly planted on that foundation of Christ, the one that I have trusted for my salvation, for my eternal life, I can stay firmly rooted in His Word and in my relationship with Him regardless of what's coming at me, and be able to look and be watchful into prayer and looking for that glorious return of Him. Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and that glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It does make a difference what you believe. I can look around in the world today and many that are claiming to be Christian, but have never taken that step of faith to trust Christ as their Savior. Not the church, not a baptism, not works, but Christ. That have never fully surrendered to Him. That have never placed their faith and their trust in Him. That have allowed that faith, that trust to change their life. To change the old ways, the old habits, the old want-tos into a way that is conformed to Him. To be living towards Him and to be living for Him. To be a witness for Him. That my life might show Him in me. To others who are looking for an answer. And to be able in times that we're in to bring a message of hope. To those that are looking for something to hope in. Oh, there's a Savior that loves us. There's a Savior that died for you. There's a Savior that paid your price on an old rugged cross to restore a relationship with the Father that you cannot do on your own. It is only through faith and trusting in Him. And when we stand on that, that gives us the hope that we need for the days that we're in, to continue to put a smile on our face. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Oh! When we think about it that way, when I look at what my Savior has freely given me, that gift of eternal life, His mercy new every morning. That forgiveness of sin available with just simply asking, Lord, forgive me where I've stumbled. Forgive me where I've struggled. Forgive me where I've done things or said things or thought things that I shouldn't have. Lord, strengthen me. Lord, help me to stand firmly as You would have me to stand, with a message to a world that needs to hear it. Because maybe there's one here today that's struggling with hopelessness, that's struggling with uncertainty. If that rapture were to happen today, would you still be here? If you stepped out these doors today and heading home or to lunch or wherever you were going this afternoon, and suddenly find yourself in eternity, are you sure you'd be in heaven? Are you sure you'd be in His presence? Have you experienced the new birth? Have you experienced the newness of life? Are you walking in hope of being in the presence of our Savior? If not, why not? You can do that today. You can start this new year with a new birth, with a new life, and with new hope. During a time of invitation, if you're here today and that Holy Spirit's dealing with you, would you come? And take the Word of God, and we can show you how you can know that you know that you know that you have eternal life. A life that'll never end. God simply, when this life ends, simply transports us into His presence. We close our eyes here, we open them there. And there's an assurance in that. What is it you're basing your belief on? What is it you're basing your eternal life on, or your eternal destination? Let's stand quietly for prayer. If that Holy Spirit's dealing with you, will you come? Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You for today. Father, thank You for Your Word and Your truth. Father, thank You that salvation is not dependent on our good works, our church attendance, or our good intentions. But Father, salvation is simply based on trusting the finished work of the cross. The debt paid in full by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And it is through His resurrection that we have the hope of eternal life. Through the empty tomb. Father, thank You for that. Father, if there is one here today that does not know You, that does not have that relationship with You, Father, would You stir that heart today? Father, would You draw them to You? Father, would You change lives here today? Maybe there's someone here today that is struggling with an old fleshly temptation, an old fleshly habit. And Father, just needs that reminder that greater are You in us than what we face. and that there is victory over this old nature. Father, if there is one that way here today, Father, would you draw them to an altar? Would you strengthen them? Would you encourage them? Would you help them to walk in victory? Father, be with this time of invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.